America Trends Podcast is part of the MHNR Network. MHNRnetwork.com.
What you're about to experience is one man's quest to see beyond the tumultuous period we're in and to envision what lies just beyond our grasp, yet well within our reach. Welcome to Larry Rifkin's America Trends, where the future has arrived, and it's just in time.
Welcome back to America Trends. I'm Larry Rifkin. We're always looking forward to the way lives can change in America based on the way that we deal with issues in our politics and our society. Well, what about this one? Do you like changing your clocks in the spring, pushing forward, or falling back in the autumn? Well, most people don't really like that, but they have different reasons for not liking it. Well, the U.S. Senate recently, by a consent vote, sent to the House of Representatives something called the Sunshine Protection Act, which would make daylight saving time, not savings time, daylight saving time, the one prescription for the entire country. Now, how do you really feel about that? In fact, there are most experts in the field who say if you're going to do anything like this and make it uniform, it should be standard time. Well, JP is the founder and president of Save Standard Time. He joins us next here on America Trends.
With us on America Trends is JP. He is the founder and the president of Save Standard Time. And it's fascinating because I don't think we've thought a whole lot about standard time, daylight savings time, except maybe twice a year it dawns on us, if you will, that dawn is earlier or dawn is later, whatever it may be. But Jay, I've got to imagine that you are now losing sleep over the fact that the U.S. Senate has determined that by a vote of, was it 100-0, that we should go to daylight savings time full time. And in fact, the more I read about this topic, the more experts in the field, as well as groups like yours that have concerns, say the better move would have been to go to standard time as the regular time if we wanted a default position and didn't want to move our clocks twice a year.
Yes, yes. I have been losing sleep, ironically. Thanks very much for having me on your show. I want to point out that the Senate technically had a unanimous consent by voice, but they didn't actually have a roll call vote. So not all senators were present, and not all senators knew what was happening at the time.
But does that make them any less culpable in doing something that many feel would be egregious? I mean, let's be honest, Jay, and we'll get back into some of the history and all, but we've tried this before, haven't we?
Oh, yes, we have. In the United States, in the 1940s for World War II and the 1970s for the oil crisis, and other countries have tried it as well, and it usually does not go well at all.
Well, help us to understand why you have an organization called Save Standard Time. What is the logic, what is the imperative, in your view, for standard time? And give us whatever history would help us to really understand this.
Well, yes, I come to this with a professional background in software engineering, where I've seen many expensive hours wasted on this needless confusion. I'm also an amateur astronomer, so I have the appreciation of knowing that the time of day is meant to indicate the sun's position in the sky. It's a measurement of nature. And that actually correlates to our physical health. We have circadian rhythms in every living cell that try to stay in touch with that solar time, most especially through morning light cues. Now, daylight saving time, we turn the clock ahead an hour, and that forces us to get out of bed an hour early every morning that we stay on that clock. We get away with this in the summer because the sun is coming up earlier, so it's easier to get up earlier. But in the winter, it's disastrous. It would be sending most of us to school or work in the dark for 2, 3, 4 months out of the year, depending on exactly where you live. So it ends up depriving our sleep. It's bad for our mood, our alertness, our physical health, longevity. Really, if we want to stop changing clocks, we should stop changing the clocks. We should be making standard time permanent, the natural time defined from the sun.
Well, now with GPS helping us, it's much easier to change the clocks, and you don't have to run around your house totally in order to get it done. But having said that, the concept of daylight savings time, now, it was introduced in the U.S. in 1918 during World War I, but what goes on around the world in this regard?
Yes, it really took off worldwide during World War I. Germany and Britain and then the United States followed. And everyone has a different schedule, and that makes matters much worse. The United States, we started doing it in World War I seasonally and then got rid of it and then brought it back in World War II and got rid of it. And it's coming back. We had extensions of the daylight saving time period. You know, it used to be just in the summer, and then it was half the year, and now it's two-thirds of the year. Europe did not increase the duration of their daylight saving time period, so they spring forward a little later than us and fall back a little earlier. And, of course, those in the southern hemisphere are doing it opposite because the seasons are opposite there. You know, when we are in summer, they are in winter. So it creates all kinds of confusions globally. And again, it's quite needless. The original supposed reason for it was to save energy. The idea being that if we wake people up earlier, hopefully they'll go to bed earlier and they won't run the lights at night quite so much. That doesn't actually pan out. Just because we're waking people up earlier, we don't go to bed any earlier. And in fact, because we're waking people up earlier, now we're turning on our heat earlier in the morning. When we should be sleeping, and so it ends up wasting more energy.
Well, I know we have this whole issue about high school students and trying to get them up for school at different times, and I know that different high schools, you know, really have been trying it in different ways. But in reading the fact that in some parts of America, I'm on the East Coast, you're on the West Coast, but they wouldn't see sunlight until about 8:29 at the latest point, I believe. I mean, that's difficult for kids who are trying to, start their learning process, and for a lot of people who do like to go into work earlier or get started earlier.
It matters both how much sleep we get and when we sleep. Humans are, for the most part, diurnal mammals, and we need to be sleeping when it's dark. And again, the idea of daylight saving time is to force people to wake up earlier relative to the sunrise. I think you're in Connecticut, and if I'm looking at a chart in Hartford, if you were on permanent Eastern Daylight Time, you wouldn't see the sun rise until as late as 8:20 in the morning. Sunrise would be delayed past 8 o'clock in the morning for over 2 months. And it's much worse the further west you go in a time zone or the further north you go. So yes, it is very much connected to the idea of we need to be starting school later, we're sending kids to school too early in the morning. If we turn the clocks forward and leave them there, we're sending everybody to school or work an hour early all of winter.
Well, Senator Marco Rubio, a Republican from Florida, said after introducing what he calls the Sunshine Protection Act that permanent daylight savings would give us an extra hour of afternoon sunshine in the winter, encouraging people to shop, eat out, and be active. I don't know, around here, at about 5 o'clock on a January day, it's not the most conducive, boosting the economy. And it means we can drop the tradition of pointlessly resetting our clocks twice a year. Now, the argument back in the 70s was a little bit different, but I'm reading from the Washingtonian magazine, Jay, and they had a headline, the U.S. tried permanent daylight saving time in the 70s, and people hated it. What happened then? Remind us.
So it was in 1973, President Nixon asked the Congress to pass the Emergency Daylight Saving Time Bill, and they quickly did so. The idea was, well, if daylight saving time is saving us energy, which there really wasn't much data to back up that claim then, if it was saving energy, it would save even more energy if we did it year-round. So Congress quickly passed the bill, and we moved into permanent daylight time. And that winter was really hard. We had people waking up and going to school or work in the dark. it's very unfortunate. Several lives were lost. Children were struck on the dark morning roads by sleepy drivers. And it really is, that problem is twofold. It's a visibility problem and a sleep deprivation problem. And you put them together on those icy morning roads, it does not go well. I think NORC found a poll of Americans, 79% were in support of the idea beforehand. But then after it was implemented, that dropped to only 42%. About 6 or 8 months later, Congress quickly changed it back and said this was not a good idea. They admitted their mistake. So we're hopeful that they will see the light, change course again today.
Okay, now let's go back even further, not much further historically, but to the Uniform Time Act of 1966. I don't want to get people too confused by all of this, but it is rather confusing. That standardized daylight saving time practices and time zones in the U.S., but the federal law allows a state to opt out of observing daylight saving time, but prohibits a state from observing daylight saving time year-round. So, but then in the 70s, they then countermanded. I'm confused.
The idea of standard time really started a century before, around 1884, when we moved from local solar time to standardized time with the railroad system. It got codified into federal law in the 19-teens then. But then after we started to play with daylight saving time in the summer, during the World Wars, certain lobbyists started to ask that we bring it back because it was found that when people perceived that illusion of added daylight in the evening, they were more likely to go out and drive to the shopping mall. It's always been a financial interest that is pushing this idea. The problem that arose was that then we had states and cities moving in and out of daylight saving time on different schedules, and it was chaotic, it was disruptive, it was confusing. So that was how the 1966 Uniform Time Act was born. It said, and it still says, that a state needs to observe its approved standard time by default. If you want to do the daylight saving time game, we all need to do it on the same dates.
Mm-hmm.
So by that reasoning, it's optional. You can spring forward if you want, but you don't have to. And unfortunately, that awareness of that detail of the law is often lost on most of the public and most of the legislators with whom we speak. Many of them think that Arizona and Hawaii and the five territories got some kind of special exemption, when really it is the way the law is written. You can simply pass a local law saying we're not going to do this, we're not going to spring forward, and it's done.
Okay, so Arizona and Hawaii, for our listeners there, they have adopted permanent standard time. Hawaii yeah. opted out in 67, Arizona in 68, and then in some U.S. territories, they observe permanent standard time. So how confusing is that even for adjacent states and people who are doing business, around Arizona and Hawaii? Or conversely, what have they found by virtue of staying with permanent standard time? I mean, are there any studies, statistics that show that it's safer mm-hmm. for kids in the morning, or that it's not had a deleterious impact on the economy, or whatever? I mean, what do you take away from the states that are already a standard time permanent?
Yes, so it's all five populated U.S. territories are on permanent standard time, plus the states of Arizona and Hawaii. And of course, the five territories are islands. Hawaii is a series of islands as well. So they don't have the neighboring state problem. Arizona is a large western state with most of its population central to the state. So they don't run into as many border problems as perhaps Connecticut would if you were to go this route alone. And for that reason, as we are reaching out to state legislators and asking them to consider bills for DST exemption for permanent standard time, we often encourage them to include a clause that says this will not be implemented until neighboring states of X, Y, and Z do the same thing, to try to build a pact. As far as studies go, we do find that when we compare counties within, say, Arizona, compare them to states of similar latitude, they have a lower crime rate in the summer. compared to the states that have the summertime DST. We could suppose, we could hypothesize that that is due to DST's chronic sleep deprivation having a negative effect on risk-taking behavior or alertness, but there hasn't been any really definitive study on that regard.
Now, of course, the 11,000-member American Academy of Sleep Medicine, they favor scrapping seasonal time changes for standard time year-round. Did anybody get to speak to senators in advance? This does not seem like something that went through normal procedure, and yet, I mean, it did sweep through. I understand your point about the way the vote was approached, but it seems really odd to me. They can't agree literally on the time of day, let alone changing the time zone or the way we look at time. I just can't imagine that they all just went along with this, even if it was a voice vote.
Normally, a bill gets referred to a committee, an analysis is composed, a hearing is scheduled, a vote is held within the committee. There's a usual process for bills, and all of that was skipped in this regard. The reports I've seen in the news are that Senator Rubio might have been looking to make a point and was anticipating someone to object to the request to skip all of the procedure. No one did, and that came as a great surprise even to his team, as it has been reported. It is also customary, if you're asking for that kind of skipping of the rules, that you would announce it beforehand so other members of the Senate would know that it's happening so they could be on the floor to object. And from what I've read, that notice was not given in this case either. So it really is an unfortunate turn of events that the senators were not able to hear from the experts in this case.
But the House is taking their time, and then it's got to go to the president. So there is time for someone who is listening to this podcast to get to their representatives and let them know what they do think about this. Now, let me say that the head of the Public Health Committee, Abby Strang, a pediatric pulmonologist, said, "We believe that the evidence shows standard time is better for your body, better for sleep health, and better overall to health and public safety." So you do have a lot of people who, if they are allowed to testify, are really going to be pushing back on this notion. But let me ask you, at last count, 16 states have enacted legislation or resolutions for year-round daylight saving time, according to states' conference, and at least 28 states are considering legislation with daylight saving time. How has that happened? Is it the Chamber of Commerce? You said it's an economic thing. I would imagine there are certain people who are suggesting, if in fact the idea in the 70s was to save oil, now we've got an oil problem that we're dealing with. I mean, what's going on here where so many states are going in just the reverse of what experts are suggesting? Or is it just that expertise now has no standing any longer? Lots of people have been trying to push back on expertise.
Yes, the House of Representatives, the U.S. House, is taking a slower and more careful approach to this, and we're very thankful for that. They held a hearing on March 9th. They're reaching out to experts, and we're reaching out to them to schedule meetings as well. We're also reaching out to all members of Congress in the hopes of finding an author for a new bill for permanent standard time. It's a much simpler process rather than rewriting the entire Uniform Time Act. Just simply strike the paragraph for daylight saving. So please do contact your members of Congress and ask them to oppose sunshine protection and to support permanent standard time instead. As far as what's been going on in the states, yes, we've been following, and this is actually what got me involved. In 2018, the first permanent daylight bill was passed in Florida, and it quickly spread to neighboring states of Florida, and it jumped over to the West Coast, where I live here in California. And that's when I got involved. It was being discussed in California, Oregon, Washington. And what I saw shocked me. I've never been this involved in legislation before, but I was seeing that these bills were passing without any real discussion. There were no consultation with experts. There was very little review of the history, and there were a lot of just jokes being made about time of day and all these puns and such. It's widely agreed that changing clocks is unpopular, But beyond that, we need to look more carefully at which clock we keep. And there is a financial backing for permanent daylight time. Daylight saving time also has that sort of sunshiny name to it. I mean, who would not want to save daylight? It has an association with summer. You know, if you ask people you want to be like summer or winter, most people would say like summer. But we can't legislate winter to feel like summer. It only just would force us to wake an hour early in the winter.
Yeah, permanent daylight savings means later sunsets in the winter, but also later sunrises, a fact that you say, I think, in this piece I read that you were quoted in, that advocates of permanent standard time say gets overlooked. What else gets overlooked? Because Americans rebelled in the 1970s. Can you help place us there? I don't know if you're old enough to do it, but you know the history. How did they rebel?
I'm in my 40s, so I was not quite born yet. It took a lot of Americans by surprise at the time, I think, as it's taking a lot of Americans surprise right now. But once it became a reality, then it hurt children first, and then, you know, parents take note. In the 1970s, we had a lot of resistance to permanent daylight saving time from, say, the National Education Association, the National School Boards Association, the American Federation of Teachers. We had a good response from them. This also has a religious aspect. There are Jewish communities, Muslims, who time their prayers to sunrise. And if we're forcing people to go to school or work before sunrise, then that creates a burden on their daily worship.
So who are the constituencies that want to come forward and have an impact on the House debate? I'm reading where morning sunlight falling on our optic nerve halts melatonin production. So maybe there are going to be eye doctors across the country coming forward. Of course, when we do go back to what happened in the 1970s, there were evidently workplace accidents. There were more auto accidents in the morning, made a lot of people feel like they had jet lag early in the morning, and that was a continual thing. I'm just wondering if, in fact, what happened in the U.S. Senate now happened just days, I don't recall the exact date, but it did happen just days after we had to set our clocks and spring forward. Is that when it happened? So they were still kind of groggy from that?
Yes, it was the Tuesday after the spring forward. It was beware the Ides of March, March 15th. Yeah, I don't know about you, but when you force me to get out of bed an hour early in the dark, I don't feel good for the entire day. You mentioned groups that are getting involved. The American College of Chest Physicians opposes permanent daylight time and endorses permanent standard time as the better year-round clock, as does the National Safety Council, the American Academy of Sleep Medicine, the National Sleep Foundation, the National PTA, the American College of Occupational and Environmental Medicine. It really is a growing coalition of advocates for health, safety, and education, most especially.
Well, this is JP. He is the founder and president of Save Standard Time. Now, you would like to see standard time be the default mechanism. We just stay there and don't change our clocks. What about the whole notion of what we've been doing, the bifurcation, where we go a portion of the year as one, a portion of the year as the other? Is that something that you can live with? Would you like to adjust that if, in fact, it came to what often happens in politics, regardless of who they're listening to? It would be even better in many cases if we would be willing to compromise on different things. You know, is that tenable just to kind of stay where we are?
Well, so the expert opinions generally rank the three choices as permanent standard time as the best, permanent daylight time as the worst, and the current system of clock change as sort of the compromise between the two. And I personally agree with that. I would rather we were on permanent standard time. I mean, for me, it's also a matter of personal integrity. Standard time is the real time, and I want to be honest with myself and others about the time of day. Now, I certainly can see the appeal of permanent or of any kind of daylight saving time, because when we turn clock forward, we go to work early and we get to leave work early. And that's really what people like, that they get to leave work early. But I think the answer to that is look at can we give people more control over their own schedules? If individuals want to go to work early, if businesses want to open early, let's look at how we can empower them to do that on their own rather than forcing the entire population into what essentially is unhealthy, unsafe behavior.
How much was there in terms of compromise? I was reading a piece on NPR.org by Susan Davis, and she said that the system we now have is the product of decades of study and compromise. Congress meddles with that at its peril. I mean, when we did finally go to this different approach that we have now, which is one at different times a year and another at another time of the year, how much work was that to even come to that notion of let's kind of split the baby in half?
This has been going on for over a century now. It constantly gets readdressed. The dates keep changing. We had the extension of daylight saving time during the Bush administration in 2005. In the Reagan administration, it was extended in 1985. We constantly are tooling with this idea, and I think it would be much simpler if we were just on the real time permanent standard time. It would save a lot of headache. It would improve the scientific records as well. There's a lot of confusion. People think that daylight saving time refers to the action of changing the clock, when really we have two parallel clocks, standard time and daylight saving time, and we switch between the two clocks. It's similar to how we have two different thermometers, Fahrenheit and Celsius. And if you wanted to adjust the temperature in your home, you wouldn't change from a Fahrenheit to a Celsius thermometer to get a different number and feel better about the heat. That is just a silly idea. But that's what we're doing with these clocks.
Interesting. Is there any bifurcation between the coasts or the Midwest? Is there any more popularity for one versus the other, depending upon where you live?
The time zones are arranged such that the middle of the time zone, what we call the meridian of longitude, that's where solar time and standard time align perfectly. So if you are further east, you're a little bit ahead, and if you're further west within your time zone, you're a little bit behind. So those on the eastern sides of their time zones, they tend to like the idea of daylight saving time, such as a good example is the state of Maine. However, when you're further west within your time zone, such as Michigan, then you're having much later sunrises already, and then permanent any kind of daylight saving time has you having even later sunrises when you turn the clocks forward. So there is a lot of variation just within time zones east to west. Also north to south, the latitude further away from the equator has more extremes in the length of the day, and that's just a simple fact of astronomy. Your lifestyle, if you have children, if you work indoors or outdoors, your age, there are many factors that weigh into your personal preferences.
Yeah, that's interesting. But public opinion polling continues to show that Americans by wide majorities favor ditching seasonal time changes. So your goal and your job is to get them to favor standard time versus daylight savings time. Do you think that that's going to happen? I mean, what do you think will happen at the end of the day, whatever time it is? What do you think will happen?
AP NORC did a survey in 2019 and found about 40% prefer permanent standard time and 30% permanent daylight time and 30%, I don't know, I don't care, just end the madness. And they repeated that poll 2 years later in 2021 and got the same result. In fact, it was a little bit more for permanent standard time, even up to 43% then. So we don't have a 50% plus one majority, but we do have more people wanting standard than daylight. The legislation has not reflected that yet to date, and that's the challenge. I think we will eventually end up with permanent standard time. It just becomes a question of, do we try the disaster of permanent daylight time yet again and learn that hard lesson of history and then go to permanent standard time, or do we skip that step and save money and lives and just go directly to permanent standard time? And that's what I'd rather we do.
So what would you like someone listening to this podcast to do?
The easiest thing I can say is if you text the letters FST for Safe Standard Time to 50409, we have a resist bot that will respond to send a letter to your members of Congress or to your state legislators in support of permanent standard time. You can also just good old-fashioned look up the numbering and call your legislators, call your members of Congress and tell them no to permanent daylight time, yes to permanent standard time.
Well, I will say, just as they voted for permanent daylight time recently, the U.S. Senate, right after the change, do not ask me about this question. I would say in early December, when it gets dark at 4:21 in the afternoon. That's the only thing I would say. If you want my vote, just don't take it around that time. Well, JP, I want to thank you so much. And if people want to get involved with your group or just know more, Save Standard Time, how can they do that?
We're on the web at savestandardtime.com. We're on social media such as twitter.com/savestandard, Facebook, YouTube. We're all over.
All right. Jay, thank you for being with us today on America Trends.
Thanks very much for having me. It was a pleasure.